Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time. With your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good.
And Marcus Vandenberg.
West side!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings. And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous podcast, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports show produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. We back, y'all. It's good to be back. So let's not waste any time. Let's not dilly-dally. Let's not go through the motions. Let's get right into it, because I have to bring on my partner in crime, my brother from another mother, my tag team partner from the West Coast. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcus. I was trying to think of something dealing with your haircut, brother, but I'm not even going to go there, man. It's about love this week. It's not about jokes this week. It's about love, Marcus. Marcus Vandenberg, ladies and gentlemen.
I told you off my...
I
opened up to you, Nate. I said, hey,
My bad. I betrayed your confidence.
And then you gaslight me. You turn the camera on, and you're going after all this hair, Nate. You remember this, Nate? Hair.
Hey. Well, look. I apologize, Marcus. It's my fault. Like, I'm full disclosure. Like, those that are watching the video version of this podcast can notice something different in the screenshot. So I apologize, Marcus. I'm out here acting brand new.
Because
I got this STEMI, I got this new microphone, so I'm feeling myself a little bit, so I apologize, brother.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm getting a haircut on Friday.
Okay. First time since the Panorama started?
Since the, Panorama 2.0. Mm. I've had two since last March. two in 1 year. Not great.
Yeah, it's...
Glad I'm married.
So yeah, this really is not the time, and I think I can speak for all single people in attendance. Like, this ain't really been the time to get up on your single people game. This is more time for self improvement, more time for self reflection, look inside, and that way, once things open up again, you'll be ready with your best self to put your best foot forward out there in these streets, Marcus.
Okay. Man, it's. This summer should be interesting for the single people in the world. Put it like that.
Oh yeah. So I think we have a lot of things to talk about this week, Marcus. But it occurred to me, when I was setting up my new mic, they got this hot. Matter of fact, let's go ahead and get this in the shot right here, ladies and gentlemen. Look, I'm my own cameraman and producer. I got this new Blue Yeti Nano for. With my stimulus money, and I named it Blue, not only because that's the name of the company, but also in honor of Melvin Franklin from the Temptations, Marcus. So when I'm on this microphone, I feel like I'm part of the Temptations. Like, ain't nobody coming to see you, Otis. Just came through all clear and whatnot. just Pecos Kid, bang, Pecos Kid, bang, yeah, Pecos Kid, bang, bang. We need to do that one of these days, Marcus. Like, we've done one movie review on the Patreon, but we need to get into some of these black films that don't get enough accolades, like The Temptations. But I wanted to talk before we got into the sports, Marcus, about my new hobby, shall I say? Because I feel like it's been a while since we had a good Nate story for the people, Mm-hmm. And I recently did a podcast with Martin Bushby over at Post Wrestling. And he called me a raconteur, which I took as a very high praise, a very high compliment.
Very sophisticated term.
Yes, yes. Basically like raconteur for those that, you know, aren't up on your English. It's just a very highfalutin word for somebody that's good at this BS storytelling game. and so it's been a while since we had a good Nate story. And Marcus knows this because we talked about it off air. But part of what I've been doing in the midst of this panorama is a lot of freelance work, you know, whether it's voiceovers or, you know, working with nonprofits. And then one weird random job that I had recently was being a beta tester for an app. And that app happened to be for the BetMGM app. And so I'm sure y'all have all seen the commercials, particularly if you live in certain states where gambling is now legal.
Wait. We have commercials for BetMGM?
Yes, with your man Jamie Foxx out here on these streets.
Okay, that's good to know because, you know, it's part of the
yes,
the Verizon family, but I live in a state that does not condone sports gambling at the moment.
Okay, so let me tell you, Marcus, these commercials are so dramatic that even if you didn't, you know, gamble, like Jamie Foxx would convince you to gamble because he's out there, he's like walking in front of one of the hotels, probably the MGM Grand, that would make the most sense, in Vegas. And he's like, put the power of sports books in your hands. And then like everything goes black. And then he pushes the button on the app and all the lights and the fountains and everything goes up. And he's like, welcome to the king of sports book betting. And I was like, oh, did he say the king's of sport?
Oh.
And so I was like, okay, Jamie. But I was part of this beta testing team to test out the app when it came live in Virginia, work out the bugs, let them know if I found anything. So they paid us $100 for it, Marcus. And then the best part was we got to keep whatever we made on our bets.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I got my $100, but then with the bets I made, I probably made like an extra $100, $150 just in bets. And so I've kept the app ever since the test. And I feel like, Marcus, like I'm not quite to degenerate gambler level yet, but I think I caught the bug just a little bit, Marcus.
Welcome to the dark side, my brother.
Well, see, that's why I felt comfortable bringing it to you, because I know between the two of us, despite what appearances might have folks out there listening or watching to believe, you know, I've never really been a gambler, whereas, you know, Sensible Shoes Marcus over here be out here getting his bet on. So
to be fair, I have not placed a sports bet in, 4 or 5 years. It's been a while. Even my last few trips to Vegas, I haven't been to Vegas since 2019 now, but when I was going to Vegas a lot more often pre-child and pre-COVID, I was not gambling as much. Maybe just because the older you get, the more you realize you got stuff to pay for. But
yes,
my gambling's reduced. But I do like the idea whenever California gets on board of betting from home. I think that's like the ideal situation where, especially during football season, so, you know, a game catches your eye. You just fire up the app, place your bet, and, you know, you hope for the best. So,
well, here's what I've done, Marcus, and shout out to everybody watching right now live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. We appreciate you. If we get any good comments, let me know, Marcus, because I don't have the chat up. But here's how they got me, Marcus. One word, two syllables. Parlay. They got me on these daggone parlays because there's, like, here's the thing. Like, I know enough to know that I don't know enough when it comes to just betting straight on games, you know, with the point spreads and whatnot. Like, I know enough to know that's not for me. But the way they got me, Marcus, is whether it's a parlay, like four-leg parlay with a single game, or if it's like just something random, like, hey, it's our Tuesday's cross-sport parlay. UCLA and the LA Kings are at 200 to 1 odds. I'm like, you know what? I'll throw $5 at that. That sounds fun. And so I think had I been younger and something like this was around, Marcus, it would have been trouble. It would have been bad news bears. Because I would have gotten sucked into this thing real hardcore. But I put limits on myself where, like, I can only bet $50 a week total. And whatever happens with that happens. And so instead of, like, placing a big bet on a single game, I'm putting, like, a lot of these tiny bets on parlays.
Okay.
And so, like the other night, it was just something random. Like, Chris Middleton scores 15 points, Domantas Sabonis gets 10 rebounds, and Kyle Kuzma hits 2 3-pointers. And it was, like, plus 700. And I'm like, you know what? That sounds fun. So I put, like, $3 down, and all of them happened to hit, and I won, like, you know, $30. You know, and that, like, okay, that's fun. And it's just enough risk, Marcus, where it's like, if I lose $3, if I lose $10, if I lose, you know, $50 altogether during the week, that's not a big deal.
If you want to, you know, look ahead to next year, win a bet the Heisman Trophy, I mean, you can... Plus 700 for a certain quarterback. If you want to get in on the ground floor now before the season starts, it's some good value there.
You know what? Here's the thing, Marcus. We've never really done this because this ain't that type of show. We ain't out here giving Stone Cold lead pipe locks of the century or the week.
Of the week.
But I'm going to tell you, the person that's come up the most clutch for me through this last month, 6 weeks of my my new gambling hobby, your man Trader Barge.
Well, you caught the hots on a hot streak as well. That's yep. Awesome.
Well, and that's the thing. Last time we did a show was right after they fired the previous coach. Yep.
Yeah.
And Nate McMillan took over, and ever since then, like, and again, like, I hope that I'm blanking on the previous coach's name. It's been that
Lloyd Pierce.
Lloyd. Yeah. I don't know why I kept wanting to call him Leonard Hamilton. I'm like, no, that's Florida State. Yes. But, yeah, I hope Lloyd Pierce gets another shot, Marcus, you know, because just because you don't succeed in one place, it shouldn't limit, you know, your options later on. So I hope Lloyd can get another shot, but it's night and day between how the Hawks were with Lloyd and how they are with Nate McMillan. And granted, the schedule's been a little softer, but you can only play the teams on your schedule, and they won, what, 8 straight?
And then they lost to the Clippers.
Yep.
Yeah.
So they're like, I think last time we talked, they were right on that bubble for the playoffs, and now they're what, fourth place in the East?
They're fourth seed, yeah. And they are going to make the playoffs this year, which that's the first step in the right direction for this franchise. And then we'll see what they do with John Collins in the offseason. They would be wise to keep him long term. But yeah, I mean, they're better record than the Heat, better record than the Celtics. They're not going to probably get any higher than fourth. They're not going to catch Milwaukee or Brooklyn or Philly, but a four seat means you got home court advantage, at least in the first round. Mm-hmm. And it also means in the second round you would get the one seed, which would be probably Philly or Brooklyn at this point. So,
and here's the thing. Like, I think sports fans in general, markets are a little unrealistic with their expectations. And like, I don't know what's up with Hawks fans, man. Like, they took that Clippers loss to heart. Like, yeah, it was a bad loss. They should have won.
They should have won. That game, I think that's why, yeah.
But it's like, they're like, oh, man, this team is trash. This team is garbage. I'm like, look at what they've just done over the last 2 weeks. Like, this is a team that was barely, you know, on that outskirts of the playoffs. Now they're firmly in playoff position. I don't expect them to have a deep run, but if they can get to the second round of the playoffs, I think for this team, it's a win. Like, it's something that they can build off for next season.
They literally have – that was their first loss in the month of March. I mean, their last loss was February 28th. Yep. So that's a pretty good month. And, you know, it was – they're in the middle of a road trip, a pretty long road trip. They got still Sacramento, Golden State, Denver, Phoenix, San Antonio, and New Orleans still left. So that is a huge road trip for them, and a lot of these games coming up, they're winnable. I mean, they can probably beat Sacramento and Golden State, and maybe the Spurs and the Pelicans. So a lot of these games, they definitely should be in it. So I would not, you know, yeah, they blew a lead to the Clippers bench, but that's all right. It happens.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program changing the game one show at a time, aka the world's most dangerous sports show, aka iTunes' longest running weekly episodic program produced and hosted by two or more African Americans who are not affiliated with a major network. I am your host, the Godfather Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime out there in the City of Angels, Marcus Vandenberg. What's up, brother? See, here's the thing. Like, I don't know what we got from the last one and what we got from this one, but we back, Marcus.
We're back. Take two.
Take two. Like, hey, what you say, Blue? I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go.
Did the microphone let you down, or was that the computer?
That's the thing. I don't know what was going on. Like, you know, I had the new mic set up. I thought things was going good, Marcus. We got this fancy background for everybody watching live on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. So I thought we was doing something. But, you know, technology wants to do what it does every now and then, Marcus. So we're not going to go back over everything we just talked about. We're going to act as if, you know, it never happened. And so we'll see how this ends up in the edit. But shout out to everybody that's watching and appreciate it and stuck with us through that little technical difficulty. But speaking of difficulties, Marcus, one of the things I want to talk about when it comes to the National Basketball Association is, you know, are we going to see any big moves before the deadline? Because I feel like, you know, we talk about playoff positioning. We talk about teams that are maybe one or two pieces away from making a decent run. We've seen some teams having to deal with injuries, in particular your beloved Los Angeles Lakers. So, you know, you being a resident NBA expert, what are your thoughts on teams needing to make moves here as we get close to the deadline?
What do you define as big, Nate? What kind of player are we talking here?
I would say, as of the players right now, the only ones I would put in that, like, big – earth-shattering category would be somebody like a Kyle. I think a Kyle Lowry is a big move. I think, okay, you know, if somebody were able to, like, it's not going to happen, but like a Bradley Beal, to me, that's a big move. Okay. LaMarcus Aldridge, somebody like on that level, I think that's a nice move, I guess. Like, maybe he helps a contender. But you know, I think in terms of moves that could actually change the balance of a playoff contender. Like, I think Lonzo Ball is somebody who, you know, is right on that bubble of being a big move. Cause I think with the right team, Lonzo actually could help a squad.
So of the names you mentioned, Bradley Beal is probably a no for sure. Kyle Lowry was originally a no, and then the Raptors went on this losing streak. I think they're now at 9 games now. And they're just a mess at the moment. With Kyle's contract, he's a free agent after this offseason, or after this season. I think Kyle will probably be traded, assuming that they, you know, the Raptors did an offer that they're happy with. But there are definitely teams that are interested in Kyle's services, along with Norman Powell, who's also on the Raptors, who could also be moved. Lonzo Ball is another interesting one. Similar situation where he is going to be a free agent after the season. The Pelicans are they're 4 games out of the 8th spot in the West. They're under 500. They're probably not making the playoffs. Or if they are making the playoffs, they're probably making it as a 10th seed. And then, you know, this new play-in system. So I could see the Pelicans trying to get something for Lonzo. Victor Oladipo, of the Rockets will probably be moved. He's another, you know, the common theme is a lot of these guys are on expiring contracts, and the teams are not going to commit towards a extension. So they're going to try to get some value from them before free agency. So Oladipo is on that list, who, I mean, the Rockets were just finished a 20-game losing streak. So I am sure that Victor will be happy to leave town. So, you know, and then you have guys like Andre Drummond, or LaMarcus Aldridge, who, if they aren't traded by Thursday, they will work with their teams to agree to a buyout, and then they'll hit the buyout market, and teams will be able to sign them at that point. So, you know, we'll have the Thursday deadline tomorrow at noon Pacific, but then we'll also have the buyout season, which will probably kick in Friday, where you'll see guys, you know, agreeing to buyouts of their teams, and then they'll be free agents.
It's interesting, Marcus, and like getting back to me, I think Kyle Lowry is somebody that's underrated. You know, he might be, over the last 6-7 seasons, like a point guard that everybody acknowledges is good, but I don't think he gets, you know, enough credit. And maybe this is just me being, you know, Mr. Fantasy GM over here, but I think Kyle Lowry would make for a really interesting fit with the 76ers, and not just because, you know, he's a Philly dude, but I think if you give them a legitimate point guard, I think that opens up things for Simmons and Embiid in a way that, you know, it's not real. Like, I think that takes Philly to another level.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Kyle Lowry fan, being a Raptors supporter. And to your point, I think a lot of the sort of Kyle Lowry, the lack of respect he gets is because he's in Toronto, to be honest. And who's paying attention to the Raptors? Even when the Raptors won, who's paying attention to Toronto on a nightly basis? So part of that is just because of where he was playing, but when you look at the numbers if you asked Toronto fans, he's the greatest Raptor of all time. It's not Kawhi. It's not Vince Carter.
Not Ray for Austin. Not Skip to my Lou.
It's not Ray for Austin. It's not Muncy Bolds. It's Kyle Lowry.
Not Hakeem Olajuwon for that one season.
No. Yeah. and he's, unfortunately, because of COVID and because of the Raptors being in Tampa, he ended up playing his last game in Toronto unknowingly in February of 2020, and won't have that proper goodbye. But he's already stated, you know, he's obviously aware of the rumors, and he's already stated that, you know, he will be a Raptor for life, and he will come back one day and retire as a Raptor. So, and, you know, who knows? He's a free agent this offseason. There's always the possibility, if he truly wants to come back to Toronto, he could sign another deal and go to Philly for the rest of the season and come back. So,
yeah.
But yeah, he's, you know, he turns actually 35 tomorrow on trade deadline day. And he
sneaky
was
old.
Really,
like, I don't view Lowry as being that old.
He was drafted in 2006.
Wow.
It's been 15 years. I mean, I think most people forgot about the Memphis run and the Houston run. But yeah, he started in Memphis and Houston, and then he's been in Toronto since 2012. So almost a full decade. But if I'm the Sixers, I would definitely try to – this is their chance, right? Brooklyn is going to be a superpower for years now. The Lakers are in shambles. Milwaukee is still Milwaukee, and I don't know what to believe in them when it comes to the playoffs. But if you're Philly – you are competing for the best record in the NBA overall.
You have, and to your point, like we've seen with these super teams, if you're going to get them, the best year to get them is year one, while they're still figuring things out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Brooklyn is, you know, KD's out. Kyrie is on another sabbatical. granted, Joel Embiid's out, but the Sixers have been winning without Joel, which has been impressive. So I would say – make the moves now and try to get your title while you can.
Yeah. Really quick, you know, you talked about the Lakers then, and obviously with LeBron out, with AD out, though those are two key injuries to the reigning defending champions. Speak to that for a little bit, Marcus. And also, like, are there any other teams around the league who you see dealing with an injury right now that could be bolstered in 2 or 3 weeks when they get that particular star player back?
What was your first part? It was about the Lakers.
About your beloved Lakers.
Oof, yeah. you know, AD still out indefinitely. LeBron still out indefinitely with an ankle injury. And they're about to hit a pretty intense stretch on their schedule. I just really starting with tomorrow night, they play Philly at home. But they have a road trip coming up, which is, let's see, 7 games on the road. And then they come back after that road trip and they play at home, Boston, Utah. And then they go on another road trip where they go to Dallas twice back to back, and then at Orlando, at Washington. So this is going to be
for the Lakers fans out there, Marcus, for folks like our boy Chris, the professor, KME. Mm-hmm. How bad can it get? Like you just mentioned that grueling schedule that they got upcoming. So how bad could it get? Let's say LeBron and AD are out for the next 3-4 weeks. How bad could it get for, you know, Dennis Schroeder and Caruso and Kuzman and boys?
It depends on what they can do at the trade deadline tomorrow. Since we've been talking, Woj just mentioned that don't rule out Kyle Lowry to the Lakers, which would be a surprise for sure. There's also
I like that. I like that. I don't know how realistic it is, but I like that.
Yeah, they've been linked to Andre Drummond and Hassan Whiteside. So if they're able to add some pieces. Well,
out of those bigs, like Whiteside, Drummond, I guess you could even throw Aldridge in that mix. Like if you're the Lakers, which big fits your system the best?
It's a good question. I mean, they were prior to the LeBron injury. Defensively, number one in the lead. And the guys you mentioned aren't known for their defense. I would also throw in Boogie, who's also a free agent as well, who was a Laker last year but never played due to injury. I would say, in terms of upside, I would take Drummond. I think, you know, for what Drummond does, there's still value in a guy who can rebound and who can, you know, store. I would take him over an aging LaMarcus Aldridge or Hassan Whiteside, who I think is very up and down.
The other thing about Whiteside, you know, we talked about Lowry being sneaky old. Like it felt like just a few years ago when Whiteside was like this untapped potential. But correct me if I'm wrong, Marcus, like isn't he in his early to mid-30s right now? So like that youth, that potential that was so attractive with Hassan Whiteside, it's not there in the same capacity as it was 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, he's 31. I mean, he was very good last year for Portland, and then I'm not sure why he ended up in Sacramento, considering they had other bigs that were on their roster, and he's not really had a lot of playing time because of that issue. Mm. But I would take Drummond. Of the guys that are available for that Laker system. So if you add Drummond and then let's say they add another, I don't expect Kyle Lowry, but let's just say they add another, you know, possible starter. If you add that to the mix with Harrell and Schroeder and Kuzma, I think they could try to keep the team, you know, in the running for the playoffs, but I do expect them to lose a lot of games here soon because
like what do you think is the floor? Like how far can they drop?
I think they could drop all the way to the 8th seed.
Damn.
Which would be Dallas is currently 4.5 games ahead of the Lakers at the moment. So that's not a lot. I mean, that's – I don't see them dropping below the 8 seed, which would be at the moment – Golden State's 500. They're not going to lose 12 in a row. But
right.
Yeah, I could see them maybe sneaking into that playoff – that play-in game territory, which, you know, I would not want to be a 7 or 8 seed – because of that, because if it comes down to one game, you never know what happens in one game.
Yeah.
But let's assume they get to that level and they get past and they actually make the playoffs. If I'm a Utah Jazz or a Phoenix Suns and you figure, okay, by the middle of May, LeBron will be healthy, AD will be healthy, I would not want to face the Lakers in round one. That would not be ideal. You know, if you're Utah, you had this great season, you had the best record in the NBA, and your reward for all this great work is facing a Lakers team at you know, in round one.
Yeah, that is back at full strength.
Yeah, that's not good.
Really quick, Marcus, you know, to the second part of my question, first of all, shout out to Ronnie out there in H-Town, the Enforcer. We see you, fam. In terms of other injuries around the league that you think could have an effect as we're looking at teams jockeying for postseason positioning, who do you think is the biggest injury right now outside of, you know, LeBron and AD and that situation with the Lakers?
LaMelo Ball probably in Charlotte. You know, the Hornets were on the rise. They're at 500, and then LaMelo fractures his wrist. He's out at least 4 weeks. He had surgery. They're going to reevaluate in 4 weeks and go from there. So that will take you pretty much to the end of April. The East is very competitive at the bottom. So it's going to be, I think, a bit of a struggle for Charlotte to hang on to a top six playoff seed. I think they're going to fall into that 7-10 window, and hopefully they get LaMelo back. But yeah, that's, you know, that's a tough one. I mean, he was the favorite to win Rookie of the Year. He was, you know, since moving into the starting lineup, he was, you know, really leading that team. And he was one of the most exciting players in the league as a 19-year-old, which is, you know, you don't see that every day.
It's sad because, like not only for LaMelo, but, you know, for guy MJ, it's like the first year that he finally kind of hit on one of these draft picks and now – LaMelo's out and they're in danger of, you know, having to fight really hard for that last playoff spot. But I think, you know, he's exceeded my expectations, Marcus. Like, I knew the kid was good. I didn't know he was going to be this good this soon.
Yeah, I think there was, and maybe because of LeVar, maybe because people only remembered him from being a freshman at, you know, Chino Hills and, you know, shooting from half court, but there was a
or if you're a wrestling fan and you remember him from that one episode of Monday Night Raw.
Yeah, I mean, there was that
that unfortunate get that moment. Daddy, get him.
I want someone to ask him about that next time he does media. If he, I'm sure he remembers that night, but if he's able to laugh at it now.
Unfortunately, we'll never, if you didn't see it that night, if you don't know the YouTube clip, you'll never see it on Peacock because they scrubbing all the N-words off, including one from Mr. Man.
What's up with that? They scrubbed off Piper and Bad News Brown from Mania.
Yep. Because I guess the blackface and like, they got rid of Vince with Booker T. And so, yeah, like they NBC is not playing with this money. They are preemptively getting rid of this stuff before, I guess, there's outrage around it.
I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Like, it's interesting, Marcus, because I feel like I get why they're doing it from a corporate standpoint, but honestly, they should just do like Warner Brothers, you know, with the Bugs Bunny cartoons, or Disney, some of these old Disney cartoons where they put the little warning at the top and like, hey, this is from a different time and things have changed, but we're not going to alter the history of this company.
Yeah, I mean, there are entire characters that they should be scrubbing. Like, if they're going that far, there should be no
Yes.
Kamala matches. There should be,
No one man gang with all that appropriation, Akeem the
yeah,
African Dream.
the Oriental Express. Like, there's
Oh
just so
yeah.
many. There's just a
So
lot,
many
so.
Asian American characters with flute music and powder and salt that would not make it past that threshold.
Yeah. So.
The Mexicools, Marcus, the Mexicools ain't making it.
Nope.
Crime Time ain't making it.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Shad. Like there's so many. Like who else is in that realm of like that? I feel like that's a show. Like we're like full disclosure, Marcus is going to be joining the NWA podcast on Post Wrestling Day on April 3rd, 2021. But like unfortunately, like this is not going to be the topic of that show. But Marcus, like who's on that list of all these offensive characters over the years in the WWF slash WWE?
Here's the thing, when Coco Beware is on the other list of like someone who is probably borderline offensive, but also he was a baby face, he was a happy-go-lucky bird carrying Negro.
The epitome of the happy-go-lucky Negro.
He's one of the few that you can actually look at from that time period and say, all right, well, at least he's not embarrassing the race, right?
He's not Samba Simba. So many offensive portrayals.
I mean, even Godfather,
Yeah.
that is a highly offensive character on multiple levels, not just race, but the treatment of women. Yeah. Why couldn't they make a white Godfather?
Okay, let's play this game, Marcus, since we're here. What wrestler from that time period would have been the White Godfather, and tell me why it wouldn't be BG James? Because to me, he's the obvious pick.
I was going to say Val Venus.
Oh, Val Venis is good too, but I feel like if you're going full Godfather caricature, you need to have a little bit of swag, and BG got that swag to him.
But you're only saying that because deep down he's got black tendencies. He borrowed from black culture.
Yeah.
So I mean that sort of takes us back to the original problem. He
So
was tapping into stereotypes.
we need a non-stereotypical white guy. So Val Venus is your pick. Okay, if you go Val Venus, I'm gonna go the white godfather, the white pimp leading the whole trade. I'm gonna go with Oh, okay. Here we go. Here we go. You're not ready for this, Marcus. The leader of the whole train in this alternate reality that we've created here is not going to be the Godfather, Charles Wright. In my headcanon, it's going to be Steve Blackman, the Lethal Weapon.
Is that why they call him the lethal weapon?
Steve Blackman as a pimp.
I'm just picturing what Blackman used to wear clothes wise, and he would need a makeover desperately.
Al Snow would make a decent godfather.
Mean, the man liked Ted, so.
I feel there it is. I feel like he could perm, he could get a perm, like that would work for the character.
I'm trying to picture Al Snow in a suit. I can see that.
Actually, though, look, we're all wrong here, Marcus. It just hit me. Like
Oh, Scott
if we're in
Steiner.
the fiction, well, Scott Steiner is good too. But if we're in the fictional world where Vince McMahon is booking a white pimp, it's gonna be Vince McMahon.
Oh, man.
All aboard the whole train.
Well, I mean, he's been pimping wrestlers for decades now. So
you see the vision. You see the vision. Oh man, so I love this little detour that we took because of Peacock pre-censoring the WWE Network. But real quick, Marcus, let's pivot from the world of the NBA to the world of the NCAA. We in the midst of March Madness, headed towards this Sweet 16 in a few days here, Marcus Vandenberg. Actually, by the time folks is listening to this, the Sweet 16 will have already commenced. So, first of all, I guess the question most people want to know, Marcus, how your bracket's looking, bruh?
I did a bracket Friday morning, and I haven't attempted my bracket. So let me see. Let's see how bad it is. So I feel like I picked Ohio State to make the Final Four. Tourney Pick'em.
Because I'm looking at my bracket right now, and I did my bracket through BetMGM because I'm a degenerate gambler now. And I've got – I don't see – here's the thing, Marcus. I don't know if this is good or bad because currently I'm looking at my bracket, and I've got 8 out of the 16 teams picked.
Huh. So I have 34 points using Yahoo as my company man. But the points that I have, possible points, I think I have the highest amount of possible points still left. So that tells me that my bracket should be in decent shape. Okay, so... so I have Gonzaga, I have SC that are still left. I have Florida State, Bama, Baylor, Arkansas, Houston. I totally left the other part of the Midwest bracket, and I had Illinois and Tennessee in my Sweet 16, and both of those schools are out. So. Mm. And then, oh, okay, this is why. I have my entire Final Four left. So I have Gonzaga and Alabama, and then Baylor and Houston.
Mm.
And then I have Gonzaga beating Bama, Baylor beating Houston, and then Gonzaga winning it all. So the fact that my Final Four is still intact is a victory at this point.
So I'm looking at my bracket right now, and it's crazy because I'm 50-50 throughout everything. Throughout the, like in the Sweet 16, I've got 8 teams. In the Final Four, I'd have 2 teams. In the championship game, or excuse me, in the Elite 8, I'd have 4 teams. In the Final Four, I'd have 2 teams. So, like right now, in the East, I've got Michigan and Texas still alive for me. I've got Gonzaga and Kansas in the West. I got Baylor and Ohio State. No, that's wrong.
It's wrong. Yeah.
That's wrong. Okay, so why are they showing me? What do you got going on here, BetMGM? I don't know what that's about. And then in the Midwest, I got Illinois. I've got San Diego State. No, this isn't right. This is all wrong, Jamie Foxx. You lied to me, brother. I don't know. Okay, so I have zero idea what is going on with this BetMGM $2 million bracket challenge. But my championship pick is still in there because I picked Gonzaga to win. Because I feel like they've been knocking on the door for damn near 20 years, Marcus, and it just feels like in this crazy time, like were this normal, were this a normal tournament, I think Gonzaga might get upset. But given that this is just a weird tournament this year, I feel like Gonzaga would be that team that is the most prepared. Because it's not really about who's the best team right now. It's who is the best equipped to adapt to the current circumstance. And I feel like Gonzaga's been the most consistent all season long.
They are a very, very, very good team. And you know, I don't see Creighton beating them. I don't see the winner of Oregon USC beating them. and that gets you to the Final Four. And at that point, it's anyone's game. But I would be shocked if they were upset before the Final Four at this rate.
So what's been kind of the defining? You know, we gonna talk about this one shining moment in a week or so, Marcus. But what's been the defining moment of the tournament thus far for you?
I think the fact that there is no outside and inside the real favorite in this tournament. It's been a total crapshoot in some of these games in terms of who's walking away. We're seeing multiple Cinderellas. Usually we get one, but you know, we got a 15 seed in Oral Roberts still left. We have Oregon State still left. You know, I'm not going to count Loyola as a Cinderella. They should be higher than 8 seed, but they're still around. Syracuse is still around as a double digit seed. UCLA. I mean, a lot of these schools are.
Well, that's the thing. Like, we've got, like, I feel like we've got legitimate Cinderellas, and then we just got perennial teams that have just underperformed this season, like the Syracuse or UCLA.
Yeah, we got a lot of that. So, and then we have some non-traditional, I guess, basketball powerhouses, Alabama in particular, who is now a 2 seed this year, and you know, Houston, who hasn't been a basketball power since the 80s, is a 2 seed.
And so it was not until this tournament, Marcus, it wasn't until this tournament that I realized Avery Johnson was no longer the head coach at Alabama.
Oh, yeah, it's Nate Oates. Yeah, he's
– Yeah, because I was watching the game, and it wasn't the Alabama game. It was one of the other games, and Avery Johnson was commentating. I was like, what the hell is Avery Johnson doing commentating when his team is in – oh, I guess Avery ain't there no more.
Avery's not there. Bama, if you haven't watched Bama play yet, Bama's real fun to watch this year. They can shoot the three ball. They're guard heavy, senior heavy team who I think they'll beat UCLA this weekend. And we'll see. It would be cool to have a Alabama football championship and also a basketball championship.
Marcus Vandenberg is fully in the tank now for Roll Alabama.
Tide, Roll Tide.
I guess since we tangentially speaking about this football, Marcus, let's talk some NFL real quick before we get to our final topic this week. And we are fully in wrapped in the throes of free agency, Marcus. Any moves that have surprised you? Any moves that you think could be a big move that shifts the landscape of who you projected for next season? You know, is Bill Belichick out here, you know, spending like he got his stimulus check? Has that surprised you? So what's been your take on NFL free agency thus far?
Is it just me, or was free agency this year kind of a letdown in terms of the names available?
Well, it's weird because I think and part of it is due in part – actually, probably most of it is due in part to the new salary cap. But we saw a lot of name players get cut. We saw a lot of players that had value get cut and just kind of land in some weird spaces. And then, you know, we see, like I said, going back to the Patriots, like two tight ends get broke off. And so it's like I don't know what the method is to the madness, so to speak, for some of these moves, Marcus. I'm trying to think, like, who's been really a move that has impressed me or made me kind of take a step back and be like, oh, they really doing something now. And I can't really think of it. I can't really think of one move that I've been like, okay, that is the move right there that takes a team from pretender status to contender status.
Oh, I can tell you that. Ryan Fitzpatrick, come on.
Yo, okay. Let's get into this. Since we're talking about quarterbacks, Marcus. And with all due respect and apologies to our good brother Jermaine out there in Chi-Town. If you a Bears fan right now, what is you doing with your life? Because not only did they fail to get you Russell Wilson, not only did they let Maserati Mitch go to the Bills and back up our man Jaheim Allen, but your solution to your quarterback problem is Andy Dalton? In 2021, Marcus, Andy damn Dalton? That's what we do in Chicago?
I mean, they said they tried, Nate. They tried the hardest to get Russ, and they couldn't pull it off. So they got the Nets' best thing, which was Andy Dalton.
Like, you can't even – like, that's not even like – like, I was trying to think, like, what would be the – like the wish or the, like, you know, this is what, you know, the meme, like, this is what I said I want. And mom's is like, we already got one of those at home. Like, mm-hmm. if you were like, mom, I want Russell Wilson. And she's like, we already got one at home. To me, like, maybe that's Tyrod Taylor. Like, maybe it's somebody of that ilk. Like, Andy Dalton is like, that's not even Walmart great value brand Russell Wilson. Like, Andy Dalton. Like, yeah, he was okay. He was decent in Dallas last season. But Andy Dalton's not getting his team anywhere.
No. But if you sign Andy Dalton for this year, you have the draft coming up next month. Maybe you draft Matt Jones.
Mm.
Maybe you take the, you know, sort of a experienced quarterback who, if something were to happen to Dalton, or if you just really wanted to see what you had in a rookie, you could plug him into the starting lineup. But I would be kind of surprised if they did not look at a quarterback this year, the Bears, whether it's sticking with their draft position, which I think is like in the middle, I think they're 15, 16-ish.
Yeah.
Or if you are really in love with someone else in this draft, trying to, well, I would say try to move up, but they've had a lot of trades with their previous first round pick, so I'm not sure what else they have left. But maybe that's the plan. The plan is you sign the veteran, but also you draft a rookie quarterback that you are going to build around.
Mm. So sticking with this theme of quarterbacks, Marcus, let's talk about your beloved Jets, 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 Jets. Because the last time we were on the air for the Kings of Sport, we were talking about the potential of Deshaun Watson. And since that time, you know, Deshaun Watson has, you know, had numerous women, you know, come out with allegations against him of, you know, misconduct, you know, sexual harassment, things of that nature. Like, not to diminish in any way the claims, the allegations made against him, but just looking at it from a football perspective, like, what effect do you think that's going to have on Deshaun? But also, like, if you're the Jets, what do you do? Because you can't stay in a holding pattern waiting to see how this turns out.
Yeah, I don't think that the Jets can trade for Deshaun Watson until this is all settled. It would, for a number of reasons, be a bad look for the Jets, a bad look for the Texans, a bad look for the NFL. If, you know, this guy is traded, really, he should probably be on the restricted list at this point until the league decides how they're going to handle this. Or if there's any merit in the lawsuits. But to just have him sitting out there, it's, you know, you there's nothing you can do. And I think the Jets need to move on and focus on the draft, which will probably be Zach Wilson at this point.
Hmm. So you think Wilson is the best fit for the Jets?
I don't think so, but that seems to be the name that continues to be linked to the Jets at quarterback. If it's between Zach Wilson and Sam Darnold, I would probably go with Darnold and use that pick to provide Darnold some offensive help. I just don't see I don't see the potential there or the upside, I guess, over Darnold for Zach Wilson.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think Zach Wilson can be good, Marcus, but I'm not ready to throw Sam Darnold out yet. I think Darnold's still got – like, he's still relatively young, right? And he hasn't had a lot to work with around him, as you alluded to. So like if it's another restart, if it's another rebuild that you're looking for with Zach, like I don't know if that's the move. I think maybe I'd be willing to roll the dice on one more season with Sam if we can get him some help.
Yeah. See, you know, he's on to another. He's had multiple coaches, multiple off the coordinators. He's been injured. Let's see what the Jets can do next year. I think he's had flashes of, you know, where you see the old Sam Darnold, which was, you know, that 1 year where they took to down Penn State in the Rose Bowl. But then we've also seen flashes of the other Sam Darnold that USC fans saw in college, which was just a turnover machine who made bad decisions. And to your point, Nate, he will be 24 next season. So that is still, for football, especially quarterback, still a pretty young quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think at that point, the Jets should feel comfortable knowing, okay, either this guy is going to be the quarterback of the future, or we need to move on and figure out a plan B.
So, speaking of the quarterback of the future, Marcus, here's where we play a game called Marcus either bolsters Nate's hopes and aberrations, or Marcus crushes Nate's dreams. There's only two options in this scenario. So as the folks know, people have been listening to the show, people watching right now, they know where my allegiances lie, Marcus Vandenberg. And my scenario right now in my head that I like for the Atlanta Falcons is to draft Justin Fields as a successor to Matt Ryan. Marcus Vandenberg, given your professional prognostication, what do you think of the chances of Justin Fields coming home to Atlanta to be the next quarterback to lead our beloved Falcons?
Here's the thing. We could get four straight quarterbacks at the top of this draft.
Yep.
Which I couldn't tell you off the top of my head when's the last time that's happened, because usually it's, you know, you got your offensive lineman or your defensive player, but four quarterbacks entering the league at the same time at that high in the draft will be interesting. I don't know if he makes it to number four, Nate. How about Trey Lance? Can I talk you to Trey Lance?
Look, I like Trey. I like Trey as a possibility. I like Fields a little bit better, because I do think that, you know, there is something to. Granted, like, Ohio State quarterbacks haven't been the greatest. We see you, Dwayne Haskins. But I think that there is something to playing on that stage. And I like Justin Fields a lot. And, you know, part of that is I think that playing in Atlanta, there's something like Atlanta ain't for everybody, Marcus. You know, we talked last time about how Luka Doncic might not have fit in Atlanta as well as Trae Young. Like, I think there's something there, particularly in these uncertain times. And so, yeah, like, I think either one is good for the Falcons for the future. I just prefer Fields.
Well, you could trade up. If the Falcons are that in love with Fields, you could trade up with who has three? Miami?
The Panthers at three?
The Panthers at three, yeah.
Yeah.
Trade up and that way, because I don't think the Jets are going to take Justin Fields.
No.
And this way, I mean the Panthers need a quarterback too, so.
That's well. I was so happy when your boy Zach started getting all this heat on him, Marcus. Because to me, I look at Zach and I'm like, yeah, he can be good. But to me, Zach is a little bit more of a project than some of these other quarterbacks. I'm like, yeah, go ahead, take Zach. Go ahead, take Zach. Because I don't want the Falcons going anywhere near that.
But how old is Matt Ryan? What, 30, 35 now?
He's 35 at the youngest. Let's see, Matt Ryan. Because Matt Ryan, he's getting up there. He's been, you know, I respect Matty Ice. He did good things for the city. Matt Ryan, 35. Okay.
All right. Matt Ryan is still a top 15 quarterback. Maybe you do take the project in a Trey Lance and
Yeah,
you
so
let
Matt
Matt
Ryan is under
continue to.
contract through 2023.
All right. I mean, you let Matt Ryan continue to do his thing. He's not, Matt Ryan's not going to hurt the Falcons.
No.
He's not the reason why the Falcons are not winning at the moment.
No. And see that's why I think the best time to take a quarterback is when you've got one that you can ride for another couple seasons, rather than trying to force these dudes into the fire right away. Because I think that's part of what's hurt Sam Darnold is he had to be the franchise out the gate when he probably wasn't ready to be the franchise out the gate.
So maybe you take the Trey Lance, you groom
Yeah,
him.
I'd be happy with Trey. I'd be happy with I'd be happier with Justin, but I'm happy with Trey.
Justin feels like he could probably start sooner than Trey Lance.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure if you want if you're drafting Justin Fields, you probably want to be starting Justin Fields by the following season. You're not going to keep him on the sidelines for 2 or 3 seasons.
True. But real quick, Marcus, one last thing, because I do want to hit a couple quick things on free agency. But one last thing about this quarterback stuff, man. Again, Chicago Bears. Like, I know he ain't Russell Wilson, Marcus Vandenberg, but how much would it have taken to get Marcus Mariota in the building? Because I'd rather have Marcus Mariota at this point than Andy Dalton.
You sure about that?
I think I'm sure. I think I'm.
What has Mariota shown you the last 3 years that's better than Andy Dalton?
Here's the thing, Marcus Mariota still got some tread on the tires, whereas I don't know. Like, I don't know if Andy Dalton gave up the ghost last year in Dallas.
I have more faith in Andy Dalton
You
than
got more
Marcus
faith in the
Mariota.
Red Rifle than whatever Marcus Mariota's nickname is.
You got to remember, Andy Dalton was leading the Bengals to playoffs. The Bengals, granted, they weren't winning playoff games because of Marvin Lewis, but they were at least getting there. And yeah, Dallas, he was not great last year. He was, I mean, he was Andy Dalton. I mean, that's kind of what I expected from Andy Dalton last year. So if he's coming into the season knowing that he's the starter again, I would expect a quarterback that could at least get you to 500, which is probably what the peak is for the Bears at this point. So I don't think it'll be all that bad. It's not, I think the problem was the Bears fans were expecting Russell Wilson, and then when you don't get Russell and you end up signing Andy Dalton, that's the issue.
It's like when you was a kid and your peoples used to hype you up. Oh, we gonna get you something good for Christmas. We gonna get you something good for Christmas. Then it'd be some socks or some drawers. And like, okay, I can use them. They have value. They're useful, but this ain't no damn Nintendo. This ain't what I wanted. I can use it, but it ain't what I wanted. They feel like that's Andy Dalton for the Bears. The real quick, Marcus, you mentioned Dak Prescott, Dakota, out here. And in the time since we've last broadcast, Dak Prescott got his paper. Does that make the Dallas Cowboys the team to beat in the NFC East, your boy Fitzmagic aside?
Oof. I next season?
Yeah, next
I don't
season.
know. I mean, he's coming back from injury. That whole division is terrible, but
Well,
the
that's the
Giants have
thing. Like,
improved.
an injured Dak is still the best quarterback in that division by a lot. You talking about Fitzpatrick, you talking about Jalen Hurts. Like, I like Jalen Hurts, but he ain't there yet. Your boy, I don't know what the hell's up with your boy Daniel Jones for the G-Man. Like, to me, I think he might have taken a step back last season.
Yeah, he wasn't great. At least he got him a receiver. Kenny Galladay signed the Giants, so he's another weapon. But I mean, I'm not going to be buying into the Cowboys because we've seen this before with the Cowboys and expectations and hope and on paper and all that, you know, cliches. And then you play the football games, and then what happens? They're 6-10. Of those four teams.
Wait. Hold up, though. You said they're 6-10, Marcus Vandenberg. 6-10 might be good enough to win the division, though.
Well, there were only one game out last year of that division. Yeah. So, of those four teams, I'm most high on Washington at the moment. I think they're well coached. I think Fitzpatrick will he'll have up and downs, but he'll at least, I think, compared to Alex Smith, at least give them a more viable option at quarterback. Defensively, with Chase Young and Montez Sweat.
That's to me, that's where the Redskins stand, where the football team. And I wonder if we'll have a new name by next season.
I don't think so at this rate.
That's where the football team, to me, stands out more, Marcus, is on the defensive side of the ball, particularly, like you said, like Chase Young is a beast. Montez Sweat is somebody I think finally started to establish himself last season. The secondary's improved. I feel like the defense is going to be what keeps this team in games. The offense, like outside of scary Terry McLaurin, like I'm not really sold on the offense that much, but that defense will keep them competitive.
Well, they signed Curtis Samuel, who would give Washington a number two receiver at least. Logan Thomas had a breakout year last year. I mean, he's turned into, you know, he was a former quarterback turned tight end. I think the running back situation is pretty solid with Gibson, who was hurt a lot, but ended up having a productive year. You got J.D. McKissick, who's turned into like this, essentially a receiver out of the running back position. So I think they're in a good shot. I think they could easily go 9-7 next year.
Okay. So Marcus is out here picking a football team on these streets to win the NFC East. I'm gonna go with Dak, man. Like, I feel like if Dak is healthy, if Dak is ready to go, and granted that is a big if, but I feel like if Dak is healthy, that team has all the weapons. Like, they've got no reason to not win that division. And if they don't, like, I'm not out here trying to call for people's jobs in the middle of a panorama, Marcus Vandenberg. But if they don't make the playoffs, to me, you got to get your boy up out of there. Blanket on the head coach's name.
McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy. If Mike McCarthy doesn't get it done, he got to get up out of there.
Yeah, I mean, well, it'll be what, year two?
Yeah. And to me, like, you've got the best quarterback in your division. You've got maybe, if not the best, like, he's certainly in the conversation of running backs in your division. It's either Zeke or Saquon. And then you've got probably the best overall receiving core in your division. So offensively, you've got no excuses.
Yeah. They have not been a serious threat in the league since maybe 2014, like the end of Romo's. You know, when Romo was in his prime. And if Cowboys are making the playoffs, it's wild card weekend and they're out. So yeah, I think expectations are high.
Dak's taking them to the playoffs what, once or twice?
2018.
Because that was the Green Bay game where they kind of got jobbed, right?
No, 2018 was the Rams.
Okay.
When the Rams went to the Super Bowl, so. He made it 2016 with Green Bay.
Okay, so he's taken them to the playoffs twice.
Twice, yeah.
Okay, but yeah, I think they've got to make the playoffs at least. Like that's to me the minimum out of this team, because if not, I think you got to make some changes. Like, obviously, there's some holes on the offensive line they got to patch up, but there's no reason, given how average at best the rest of the division is, like, outside of that Washington defense, I feel like every other team in this division is like looking at 8-8, 9-9, 7, you know, looking around that range. There's no reason the Cowboys should not make the playoffs.
You've heard that before.
I will say, last thing on Dallas, my favorite thing from that signing, from Dak getting the bag, was your man Jarrah out here talking about, you know, every time something good's happened, it's been when I've overpaid somebody. Like, what a backhanded compliment, man.
Yeah, it's...
Last thing on the NFL, Marcus Vandenberg, your boy Cam, re-signed with the Patriots, re-signed with Belichick and them. He's got two new weapons at the tight end position. They signed a couple of receivers. What do you make for Cam in season two in New England? Because I feel like he'll be better, but I don't even know if Cam being better brings this team back to where it needs to be, because the Bills are improved. The Dolphins should be improved. Your Jets are still going to jet, but it's not like it was when Tom Brady was the quarterback, where that division was a complete cakewalk for the Patriots. I think they're going to have to scrap if they want to get back to the postseason.
Nate, how did he get a season two? How did this happen?
Yo, I think the real story here is, I think Marcus Vandenberg, and I wouldn't have, like, this is a complete plot twist for me. This is a Vince Russo swerve right here. Like, listen, bro. Like, I think Bill Belichick actually likes Cam Newton. And I can't think of an odder couple in the NFL.
He was terrible last year. How did this happen?
Hey, look here, Marcus. If we've been talking about these black quarterbacks since 2013 here on the Kings of Sport, and I feel like Cam getting the second season from the Patriots, we're getting closer to equality, because Cam is getting the breaks that a lot of these mediocre white quarterbacks have been getting over the years for these deals. We see you, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
This is like football reparations.
This is football reparations in effect, as we have seen it. Like, I on a serious note, though, like, I feel like if you look at Cam at the beginning of the season, like the first 3 weeks, Cam was good. Then everything kind of went to hell. You know, Cam, like, was turning the ball over. Cam got COVID. The team seemed out of sync. There wasn't a lot of weapons around. But I do feel like towards the end of the season, like maybe the last 2 or 3 weeks, they started putting things together. So maybe that's the optimism that Belichick is going with. The other thing is, if not Cam, then who on the roster? Like, you believing in Jared Stidham out here? Like, do you have faith in Stidham to do any better than Cam? And,
well,
like, we knew that they weren't going after Russell Wilson or anybody like that.
Nate, he was so bad last year. I'm sorry. He for a league that is so pass happy. Cam Newton had 10 games where he didn't throw for 200 yards. 10. He played 15 games last year, Nate. He threw for only 2,657 yards. When, you know, in today's league, 4,000 yards is like the benchmark. He didn't even crack 3,000.
Like, Jameis out here throwing for 5.
Yeah. He had 8 touchdowns. He threw for 8 touchdowns. That's it. 8. He played 15 games. Granted, he did rush for 12 touchdowns, and he, you know, the Belichick was able to utilize Cam as a running threat, but that also isn't probably the best plan either, considering, you know, he's 31. He's had a long list of injuries. You don't want to make him a goal line quarterback if you don't have to.
Right.
But I mean, I was shocked that they brought him back, and then to bring him back as probably the starter.
Well, I think that if you look at the money, you know, what do they always tell you, Marcus? Follow the money. Like, if you look at the money they're paying them, I think people were surprised at first, but technically, like, he's making backup quarterback money in today's NFL. And so he's a starter that they're paying as a backup. So if you're looking at it from the team perspective, there is still value in that you're not giving him a high dollar deal. But also, I feel like, yes, like, Cam wasn't great last season, but I feel like there's reasons for that. You know, we talked about COVID. We talked about the fact that they waited until the last minute to bring him onto the team. You know, we talk about the lack of weapons around him. I think everything's not going to get fixed in one offseason, but if you're the Patriots and you know in your heart of hearts, like, and Bill Belichick in the conversations that he only has with himself and Bob Kraft, like, they know they ain't winning no Super Bowl next year. So what's the best we can do with what we got? I feel like they looked at Cam and they're like, you know, he ain't great. He ain't perfect. He ain't Tom Brady at the peak of Tom Brady, but he might be the best we can do right now. Because if they're not getting Russell Wilson or somebody of that ilk, like, you're left with the Marcus Mariotas of the world and the Andy Daltons of the world and the Ryan Fitzpatricks of the world. And I think Cam, like, if Cam is right, and that's a big question, if Cam is right, I think Cam's upside is better than all those dudes.
Here's the thing. We mentioned Matt Jones earlier. That's the team I could see.
Yeah.
Drafting Matt Jones. And
I think that'd be a good fit.
Yeah, I could see that. The Patriots are sort of in that middle of the first round. They need a quarterback. So maybe that's the plan. The plan is to, you get Cam at a good price, but you also know that Cam's not going to be.
Yeah, I don't think this is a long-term solution. I feel like this is just a bridge over troubled waters, as they say, Marcus, get us to the next point. And so I do think, though, like, bringing in some more weapons, like, we'll see, like, he won't be MVP season Cam, but I do think we'll see a better Cam with the year of the system under his belt, fully recovered from COVID, and with some actual weapons, with some actual NFL caliber receiving threats, as opposed to the gang he ran out there with last season.
I mean, they definitely improved, but I don't know.
I think who they invested in also tells you a lot about how they're going to play next year, because they didn't go out and get two high dollar receivers. They got two high dollar tight ends. So I think that's showing that we're going to play
there with two tight ends.
Yep. Hopefully they did a background check. Hopefully they did a background check.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say, because I don't need no trouble.
Nope.
I'm trying to think. Last thing before we switch gears here, Marcus. There was something I wanted to ask you about, but it didn't. It just slipped my mind. It was in regards to these quarterbacks out here when we were talking about what Cam went through last season. I think in terms of taking that next step, like, do you see a quarterback? Because last year the big step we saw was from your guy Josh Allen. And I think a large part of that was due to bringing Stephon Diggs onto the team. Who's the quarterback you think takes that next step this next season? Like, I honestly would have loved, you know, talking about Cam and the Patriots, I would have loved to have seen them make a deal to bring Jimmy G back, because I think that would have put Jimmy G back on the right track, linking back up with Belichick. But who's the quarterback you see out here taking that next step next season, like we saw Jaheim Allen do last year?
Taysom Hill.
Well, speaking of Taysom, what you think about this man, Jameis? Is Jameis Winston going to take a step forward next season?
I don't know if he's going to have the starting job at this rate. I mean, he's got to compete with Taysom Hill, who they still are pushing as a quarterback for some reason. But
they gave all that funny money, too.
Yeah, that was an interesting deal.
Telling y'all, don't
Quarterback.
sleep on Jameis. That man got he gonna have a year in his, under his belt in Sean Payton's system. He got that LASIK, Marcus Vandenberg. Don't sleep on the LASIK. The brother can he can see now. Man threw for 30 touchdowns and he was blind. What are he gonna do now that he can see, Marcus?
Yeah. Give me can I pick Matt Stafford?
How do you think Stafford's going to do with the Rams?
He'll be good. I think the Rams have some weapons on offense and a pretty damn good defense that I think he'll enjoy being a Ram and a change of scenery.
So what about – because here's somebody who I was thinking of, Marcus, that might take that next step, even though we saw some improvements last season. What about a guy like Kyler Murray? Out in Arizona.
I still don't know what to make of the Cardinals. I think Kyler's legit, but I just don't know if they are if they've done enough this offseason to
so that help that AJ Kyler Green move didn't swing you?
Yeah, no. I mean he's not the AJ Green of old. I mean, he's 32 already. I mean, he's had a lot of miles in Cincinnati, and the injuries I think have caught up to him. That he's gonna be. I think AJ will
I was gonna say like, when's the last time he played a full season? Like, it's been a minute.
Oh, I think probably not since Marvin Lewis. Okay, he played all 16 last year.
He did?
I know. Yeah.
Damn, I have no recollection of that. Like, particularly having him on one of my fantasy teams, like it didn't seem like he was around the whole year.
Well, he only had 500 yards passing or 500 yards receiving.
Wow.
2017, he played all 16 games. Last year, I mean 2018. Okay, that's what it was. 2018, he played 9 games. 2019, he didn't play at all. So that's where the recent gap is in his playing career, but yeah, he will fill that Fitzgerald role as a free agent of being another veteran receiver. But
is Larry done? Speaking of Larry Fitzgerald,
he's not done. He'll find a place next season. He's a very capable receiver. So he won't be done.
Who knows? Maybe we'll finally get – because I remember when Dennis Green was in Minnesota, that was always the hot rumor. Like Larry would go home to the Vikings. Like maybe this is where Larry ends his career, going back to Minnesota.
That would be great. I mean, his dad is still a sports writer. It would be a cool place for him to finish his career.
Yeah, so it's going to be exciting, Marcus. I'm actually amped for next season in a way that I wasn't for this past NFL season, you know, under the umbrella of the Rona.
Yeah, by the fall we'll have fans back in all the stadiums and it'll feel like actual football compared to whatever we watched last year, which was of the major sports. I think football and baseball were the two that were the hardest without fans to properly enjoy.
Yeah. Shout out again to everybody watching us live this afternoon. We're going to end the show on a serious note because it, in a refrain that feels all too common, Marcus, once again, we ending the show, not with the craziness and the laughs of a segment 4 story, but we ending the show on a bit of a somber note because once again, like the only thing more American than baseball and apple pie is senseless violence. And since the last time we recorded, we've had two high profile incidents of violence in America. The first obviously being the tragedy that took place in Atlanta, you know, the city of my birth last week. And then to kind of bookend the week period, we had the tragedy in Boulder, Colorado, And so, again, Marcus, this seems like something that since 2013, when we started this show, we've always had these episodes where we are reacting to violence in America. We are reacting to racism in America as it pertains to the incident in Atlanta. You know, we have these incidents where we are reacting to gun culture in America. So after another week of this topic rearing its ugly head, where are you at, Marcus, with just what's going on in the state of our union?
I think we sort of caught a break for a lot of this last year because of, especially with the schools, with schools being out, that took out school shootings, and with the pandemic in general, that really, I think, cut down on some of the mass gun violence we've come accustomed to, unfortunately, the last few years. So the last 2 weeks now have been eye-opening in the sense of, you know, things feel like it's sadly coming back to normal, which is even awful to think about. But I think we've sort of had this stretch where we haven't had to worry about people getting gunned down by terrorists, by domestic terrorists. Mm. And now my fear is that since we've had two, that we're going to see more copycat incidents like this throughout the summer. And it all goes back to gun control until mm-hmm. the politicians decide that this is a priority to them. And, you know, if Sandy Hook didn't sway them, I'm not sure what is going to. So it's, yeah, we have a new administration with Biden, but I don't know if that's going to be enough to actually see some real change in this.
That's the thing, Marcus. Like you mentioned, you know, Sandy Hook. I think you and I are of the generation where the one that I think maybe the first time it kind of popped off for us, like, whoa, this is an issue in our society, was Columbine.
I remember Columbine, yeah.
And it's like, and I hate to say it this way, Marcus, but I feel like it's the only way I can say it. It's like when you look at the NRA, when you look at Congress, when you look at the government, they have shown us time and time again that they really don't care, or at least the portion of them that could actually affect change really don't care. Because it's like we know, Marcus, you know, as two black men, like we know they don't give a damn about us. You know, Michael Jackson tried to tell you, all I want to say is they don't really care about us. But if you're at the point where you don't care, where you don't have sympathy, where you don't have empathy, where you don't grieve for the senseless killing of little white kids, like little white boys, little white girls, like if you're in the government and that doesn't move you, then I feel like nothing will, Marcus. Like nothing is going to get them off of that square. If they don't care about white kids getting killed, like we know they don't give a damn about us, but if they don't care enough to move when white kids are being killed, or when, you know, if you look at what happened in Colorado, like when white people are having their lives ended prematurely, if they don't care about that, then I doubt, despite the best intentions of Joe Biden, despite the best intentions of some of our congressmen and women, like I doubt it's going to change.
They don't care about fellow politicians getting shot. We've had multiple incidents now with politicians that were shot, and luckily both survived. But if that didn't wake people up, then yeah, it's you know.
And, well, that's the thing. These are the same people, Marcus. A lot of these people in Congress, and most of them, if not all of them, happen to be Republican, except for like your Joe Manchins and your Kristen Sinemas out there. Like these are the same people that were hiding under their desks on January 6th because people, them folks, America First, Trump crowd, the MAGA crowd, they were knocking down the doors because they wanted, you know, to enact whatever in their minds was right. And Congress, those congressmen and women, didn't even have the intestinal fortitude, the constitution, for lack of a better term, to stand up to that, right? Like, we saw so many of them fold and capitulate and be like, oh, well, you know, that was terrible, but it's still, you know, this is something that, you know, we're going to compare it to what happened over the summer with Black Lives Matter, because that's the best we can do to make excuses here. Like, if they didn't care about changing the culture, changing the climate when their own lives were threatened, like you alluded to, Marcus, like, what? I don't expect them to care about anybody else.
Yeah, no, it a lot of it, I think there's too much politically on the line if the Republicans in charge were to turn their back on their party. It would just, you know, there's a lot that would come with that. And I don't think we saw with the impeachment trial, like, there are Republicans that still fear the man who's not even in office anymore, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're expecting current politicians to do the right thing, then yeah, not happen.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, at the end of the day, that's what it all boils down to. Like, will these people have a conscience? Will these people have pride in themselves, man? Like you said, they out here running scared. They scared because, you know, of what might happen with Trump. They're scared that they might get voted out, you know, in the next election cycle. And it's like, okay, like, you can live that way if you want to, but how you sleep at night, man? How you sleep at night, Joe Manchin? How you sleep at night, Mitch McConnell? How you sleep at night, Kristen Sinema? Like, I could go on and on, because there's a lot of our people that represent us here that's kind of trash, Marcus. Mm-hmm. Like, even the good ones got some dirt on them, but it's like, yeah, I feel like the country is maybe ahead of the politicians for the first time in a long time. Like, if you look at the numbers in terms of, you know, people wanting better gun control, wanting to close some of these loopholes, wanting to enforce some of these laws that's on the books that's not being enforced. I feel like the country is ready for gun control today in a way that they maybe weren't at the time of Columbine, you know? And so it's like, the only thing holding us back is these people in Congress that are scared, these elected officials.
And that's the thing. We're talking about gun control. No one's talking about banning guns.
Yeah.
Ain't
nobody coming to take. Kamala said it today, yo. Kamala was like, ain't nobody coming to take your guns.
Yeah.
But we do need to fix this, because it's happening too often. And I think there's a couple things, Marcus. Like, there's the gun control part of it. There's the mental health part of it. And then there's also, like, the domestic terrorism / white nationalism component of it, which is something that, like, we've been talking about since January 6th. Like, there's a lot of things that need to get taken care of. And unfortunately, the people that we put the faith in to take care of it don't want to do that, or feel like they can't do that, or don't have the strength to do that.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of issues within this own country that we probably need to get a handle of before we start thinking about any terrorists outside of the U.S., put it like that. So, and some of that's on the media.
That's the thing, Mark. Like,
the media.
Like, well, I was going to say, we talk about this like it's political, but, like, there are certain things that shouldn't be politicized, right? Like to me, like, when you talk about Black Lives Matter or supporting our Asian American Pacific Islander brothers and sisters, like, those aren't political topics. That's just plain human rights, right? Talking about, you know, having the schools safe for our kids, that they shouldn't be fearful of being shot at. Like, that's not a political issue to me, Marcus. That's just, like, things that we need to take care of. You know, it's the old Chris Rock joke. Like, we shouldn't be getting credit for things we're supposed to do. Like, the kids ain't supposed to be scared at school. You know, like, elderly Asian people shouldn't be scared walking the streets. Like, those are things that we should take care of regardless of what side of the aisle you sit on.
Yeah, but unfortunately, everything is, you know, Democrat or Republican. There's just...
Masks is political right now. A piece of cloth is political right now.
And that's, I mean, since, well, I think a lot of that is on Trump, but that's been an issue since really when Fauci originally said, you know, masks don't help. It's like they heard that statement and have not let go of that.
They heard the one thing they wanted to hear and ran with it.
Yeah. So you cannot wear a mask if you want to. You cannot get this vaccine if you want to. We'll see what happens at the end. I mean, I think we're going to see a lot more large businesses and corporations that are, hey, you can come, you can get on this airplane. You better show me your vaccine card. Like,
right.
That's going to be a thing. And if you want to continue to dig your feet in with this whole vaccine stuff and not get it, then hope you enjoy that car ride. Hope you enjoy it.
Speaking of which, shout out to Krispy Kreme, because you seen the news with Krispy Kreme, Marcus?
Oh, I saw it. I saw
free donuts. If you got your vaccination card, free donut for the rest of the year. Every day for the rest of the year, you can get you a free donut.
Every day. Come on. I don't have one nearby, though. Luckily.
There's literally one 15 minutes away from me. Maybe 10 if I put the pedal to the metal a little bit. So here's the thing. If I wasn't trying to, you know, saying get my summer body right now, Marcus, I'd be there. I ain't even got vaccinated yet. But had I been vaccinated right now, I'd be at that Krispy Kreme every day, Marcus Vandenberg, because that's what you call a positive incentive.
Because you're not going to just hit the free donut. You're going to buy a donut right. Since you're already out there. So.
Right, you're going to buy a couple more donuts. You might buy a cup of coffee or something. Mm-hmm. They got like little breakfast sandwiches at the Krispy Kreme. Come on now. That's how you do something good for the community and for your bottom line. That's Krispy Kreme know how to get the bag.
How soon before we hear about the person that's doing the Krispy Kreme every day and it becomes a story?
Yo, there's so many crazy stuff. Man, here's the thing. In 2021, anything is a story. Whether, like, the Krispy Kreme person, that would be a story. Like, the story this week about your mans with the damn shrimp tail and the cinnamon toast Jensen crunch. Carp. Like,
yeah.
Like, anything could be a story in 2021, brother.
Yeah. Cinnamon toast crunch is, I saw it. I was in the store earlier today and went by the cereal aisle just to see if they had pulled the cereal.
Mm-hmm.
And Cinnamon Toast Crunch still standing tall.
Here's the thing, though, Mark. It's like, and maybe it's just getting older, but Cinnamon Toast Crunch ain't really a go-to anymore.
That was never a fan. No. That was now, Lucky Charms.
Y'all was going to say, you want to come with some Lucky Charms? Yeah, Lucky Charms I'm down with. What's another one? The one with the yogurt clusters. I like the one is
it sounds healthy.
It's the one with the yeah. So I'm trying to be a little healthier, Marcus. It's got like the yogurt clusters. It's not the OG cereal my pops used to eat all the time. Was that Quaker 100% natural?
Oh,
which is basically just leaves and twigs in a bowl.
no sugar, nothing on top.
Nah, it was just quake, just milk and like granola and bran. That's what it should have said. Milk, granola, and bran. That's what it is. That's what you're going to get. But yeah, I'm trying to lay off of them sugary cereals, though, Marcus. I'm trying to invest in myself right now in these uncertain times, brother.
Well, you have to get ready for when you get your shot and you get your freedom papers.
That's right. You know what I'm saying? Because Joe Biden told us, Marcus, if we get these vaccinations, we can have a barbecue on July 4th. So that's what I'm looking for.
Here we go. Speaking of Krispy Kreme real quick before we wrap it up. So a doctor has chimed in on this Krispy Kreme thing and said, hey, Krispy Kreme, I love that you want to thank people for getting the COVID-19 vaccine. Every incentive helps, and a free donuts may help move the needle. However, donuts are a treat that's not good for health if eaten every day. Here's my suggestions for what to do instead. Oh, boy. First, if someone indeed eats an original glazed Krispy Kreme donut every day, as your offer provides, and change no other aspects of their diet slash exercise, they gain approximately 15 pounds by the end of 2021. I'm sure that's not your intention. Why not give vaccinated people a box of donuts to give to the organization of their choice instead? They can bring it to their office, donate to charity, share it with their friends, or eat it all themselves if they really want. Do it as a one-time offer of appreciation. As a public health expert, I can't endorse a diet of daily donuts. Hell, you can't. Still, I appreciate Krispy Kreme's out-of-the-box thinking and hope that other companies would join in to incentivize vaccines.
Mm. What's his doctor's name? Like,
what? Lena Nguyen. Dr. Lena Nguyen. Why are you no fun?
Okay, here's the thing. Right. Dr. Lena Nguyen, we appreciate, you know what I'm saying, your service right now, helping folks out doing this panorama. But you ain't got to take nobody's joy from them right now. Everything ain't got to be about what's best for you and your health. Like, if here's the other thing, Marcus, like you said, ain't nobody going every single day to the Krispy Kreme. It might be one person that does it. But if somebody need that Krispy Kreme, that hot and fresh glazed goodness to get them through the day, let them have a damn donut, man.
And what if they, you know, change their diet? They account for, okay.
Right.
I'm adding these extra calories. I'm going to cut back on my fourth meal. I'm going to make it three meals.
What if I, you know what I'm saying, do 20 minutes of exercise every day that I haven't been doing? Can I eat my donut now?
Exactly. Plus, listen, only 15 pounds, people have gained a lot more in quarantine. So 15 pounds is actually a good thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, look, man, this quarantine been a roller coaster for me, man, because I lost 20 pounds, gained 5, lost 5, gained 10. Like, I've been up and down, man, through this whole panorama that we in right now. So don't take my donut away from me, Dr. Lena.
People, you can't have fun anymore. People have to be... They have to counter everything just for the sake of it. That's Twitter.
Like, what's next? You going to tell me I can't drink, Lena?
No.
You going to tell me to put down the vape? You going to tell me to get off of BetMGM? I will not. This is the one instance, Marcus, where I was staying with those crowd of folks wearing the red hats. You're not going to step on my freedoms, man. Mm. I'm an American.
All donuts matter.
All donuts matter. All right, Marcus. So yeah, this is it's been a good episode. Shout out to everybody that's watching and stuck with us through the technical difficulties as we working on some things here, trying to improve the audio for y'all. That's why I got this new microphone and whatnot. So if you can tell the difference, shout us out. Let us know. We continue to try to improve the product for y'all in the midst of this panorama. Marcus Vandenberg, before we get out of here this week, brother, let the good people know where they can find you at on social media. And let us know if you got anything good coming up from the good people at Yahoo Sports, brother.
You can follow me at Marco Will, MarcoWill. In terms of Yahoo, we have... trade deadline is tomorrow afternoon, and then I'm on vacation, Nate. I'm off for a week.
Uh-oh. So where you going, dog?
I'm going down to Anaheim for a couple nights. And then...
Interesting. Is any particular location in Anaheim?
I mean, it might be close to a theme park that is semi-open. And then the rest of the week will just be at home, chilling. So
okay.
Baseball starts next week. By the way, baseball opening day next Thursday,
which is crazy. Like, I feel like it takes me 2 weeks. Like, now that we've got this sports on an accelerated schedule, it takes me a good 2 weeks after the season starts to get into it. Like, when the NBA started, I watched the Christmas Day game, but then I didn't really get into the NBA until mid-January. So I feel like that's how it'll be with baseball. Like, I watch opening day for the Braves, but it'll take me a couple weeks to fully get into the baseball mood.
All right, we'll talk baseball in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I'm hopeful for my Braves, and it's a feeling I haven't had in a while, Marcus Vandenberg.
Well, we'll see you in the playoffs then.
I wish we got some more pitching in the offseason, but you know, I like the lineup. Pitching again leaves a little bit to be desired, but I'm happy with our lineup.
You got Charlie Morton, you got Drew Smyly. They signed Will Smith. They made some moves.
Big Willie Styles.
They got Ozuna. Or bringing back Ozuna was big.
Yeah, I like bringing Ozuna back.
The lineup is very solid. So.
Yeah, but Acuna's only going to get better.
We'll see if Austin Riley can be consistent this year.
Yeah, like they've got a good solid young core. I think you know we lost. Markakis, he retired, and you know, as much as I like Nick Markakis, I think they might miss his leadership, but in terms of production, they'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, they got another prospect, and
you still got the MVP out here on these streets, Freddie Freeman,
yeah, who's underrated player, Ozzy Albies. So yeah, they're fine. Dansby, yeah. I mean, they have a great lineup. The pitching,
I do love me some Dansby Swanson. Like that's my guy. Like I hope, like there are very few. It's sad that I have to say this, Marcus, in 2021. But I've got a list in my mind now of Caucasian brothers and sisters that I would be really hurt about if something came out about them, in terms of the way they feel racially about certain groups. Dansby Swanson's on the list. I'll be like, if Dansby Swanson out here acting like Vince McMahon at that pay per view with Booker T, I'm gonna feel real hurt by that.
Good right here.
But yeah, so we will definitely talk baseball next time we come back. You can find me on Twitter as I go to the one shot bam. You can find me on Twitter at N8 MOZAIK at Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD, Kings of Sport on Twitter. Check out the Patreon, patreon.com/ the Kings of Sport. $5 gets you in the door for over 150 hours of bonus content, sports, politics, pop culture. Got some MCU reviews. We got a Hamilton review up there. A lot of good stuff for the people on the Patreon. You can check out Post Wrestling for the Rocky Maivia Picture Show. The latest review is a review of Moana that is up there now. So I'm sure Marcus, being the Disney head that he is, checked out the Moana review. Have you watched Moana with young Simba yet?
I have a confession, Nate.
Uh-oh.
Never seen it. Never seen it.
And you call yourself a Disney fan.
I mean, there's a lot of movies I haven't seen that are Disney. It's part of the gimmick.
It's part of the gimmick. So I'm gonna, like, by the next time we talk, I'm gonna need you to have watched Moana, Pete's Dragon, and 101 Dalmatians 1 and 2 starring Glenn Close.
I've seen Pete's Dragon. I've seen the first Dalmatians years ago. But he's not at the movie age yet where he can he'll sit down and watch anything of longer than a TV episode. So I know people hit that stage where kids watch the same movie over and over again. We're not there yet, so we'll see. Maybe in a few months.
Well, the good thing is with Disney Plus, like there's a lot of variety, so you'll never run out of something for him to see. And speaking of post wrestling, speaking of the Rocky Maivia Picture Show, that's where I was going. April 3rd coming up on the horizon, big day. For the Kings of Sport and the Kings of Sport family adjacent, as the Nubian Wrestling Advocates, the NWA podcast will be a part of Post Wrestling Day, the big podcast marathon, Post Podcast Day, April 3rd, 2021. And Marcus Vandenberg, is, I feel like, All Elite Wrestling with those announcements. Like Marcus Vandenberg is All Elite. Marcus Vandenberg is, joined the crew. So it'll be, as of right now, myself, Andrew Thompson, the Professor Chris from L.A., and Brother Marcus Vandenberg. So I'm looking forward to this, man. I'm looking forward to having some spirited discussions on Post Podcast Day.
we have, what, 1 hour to do this?
Yeah, that's going to be the biggest thing. Like, can we squeeze all of this, all of these opinions into 1 hour?
The biggest thing is, can we start on time?
That's the thing. Like, we can't be on CPT unless it's Canadian people time. We're
messed the whole afternoon. So
that's the thing. Like, yeah, like the schedule be going fine until 2 o'clock. We stroll in at 2:15 and mess up everybody's show going forward. We gotta be on time.
All right. We'll be on time.
Yeah, so we're going to defy expectations. So, yeah, that's going to be post-podcast day, April 3rd. Check out the postwrestling.com for more information on that. But that's going to do it, brother. We didn't bend from madness to sadness and everything in between. Another good outing for the Kings of Sport.
And hopefully the first part of the show is salvaged somewhere.
Yes, we'll see. Like, who knows what you'll actually be listening to when you listen to the podcast version of this show. So that's part of the fun, Marcus. I was trying to think of a Temptation song to go out with since I got blue over here. But that's going to do it for this edition of the Kings of Sport. Thank you for checking us out. For those of you watching live, we appreciate y'all's support. We'll be back next time with an all-new edition of the Kings of Sport, talking baseball, talking Final Four, most likely, and talking whatever else is going on in the world of the NBA, the National Football League, and, of course, the world of pro wrestling as we inch closer to WrestleMania, Marcus Vandenberg.
That thing. Remember we used to do a whole road to WrestleMania every
yes,
every
no,
week?
We, yeah, we did. For, like, the first 3 or 4 years of the show, we had a big, like, road to WrestleMania with all these guests and our man Brian out here on these streets, Brian Shields.
Yeah.
Always coming through with that good knowledge. We talked to Johnny Way a couple times. Yeah, like, that was back when we were enthused for wrestling in the before time.
Yeah, this year. Oof. I did watch wrestling on Sunday, Nate, and why? Just why? What happened?
Yeah, I didn't even watch it, man. I knew it was gonna be, garbage. So, like, outside of your man Roman Reigns, like, there's very little in the WWE that, and the Hurt Business. I'll give the Hurt Business some love too. There's very little in the WWE that actually excites me right now.
Yeah, it's this is the down period for the company.
Yeah, so ironically, it's leading up to its biggest event. So we'll see. we'll see what's going down with wrestling the next time we talk. But again, thank y'all for checking out the show. Okay, full disclosure: I've been searching Temptations lyrics this whole time, Marcus Vandenberg. So yeah, let's keep it going. So for Marcus, I am Nate. We appreciate y'all for checking us out. Join us next time for an all new edition of the world's most dangerous sports show, the Kings of Sport podcast. So I just realized I set up the outro completely ass backwards, but let's go with it. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather Nate Milton. And remember, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Vote for me and I'll set you free. Rap on, brother. Rap on. Ball of confusion, Marcus Vandenberg. That's what the world is today. Hey, hey. Because you've been down with the king.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network. Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, thanks, thanks.
Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to leave it all on the mat. Because that's what I do when I get it done so I can do it. Yeah! I'm on a new level.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Thanks for the footlong, IRL Marshawn.
No problem, tiny virtual Marshawn.